Job 36:11. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Job 36:11. Psalm 91:11. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Psalm 91:11. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 19:14. And Joshua 1:9. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be fearful or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to 1 Timothy 1:15. 1 Timothy 1:15. You see this verse on the screen before you. You have it on the back of today's bulletin. And you have it there in your Bible. So if you will turn to 1 Timothy 1. In a few moments, we're going to begin reading with verse 12 and read down through verse 15. Studying God's Word is a wonderful privilege of every born-again believer. And we're here today again to receive spiritual fuel for our souls. In order to do that properly, we have to be in harmony with our Lord. And for that reason, we spend a few moments in prayer before we begin our study. May we pray together, please. Father, we're here today again to receive spiritual fuel for our souls. And we're thankful indeed that we have everything provided for us that we need to have a fruitful, abundant, victorious, triumphant life. We're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the fact that He was willing to go to the cross and bear our sins. We're thankful that we have the assurance that heaven is our eternal home, not based upon anything we've done, but based upon the fact that we've accepted that magnificent gift, the gift of salvation from our Heavenly Father through the person of Jesus Christ. We pray that these moments will be, for all of us, very important moments as we study your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the study of God's word and in the study of great preachers of past years, one of the great preachers that most of you have heard about is Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was born in June of 1834. And passed away on January 31st of 1892. He died at the age of 58 years. He preached to at least 10 million people, we're told. He often preached at least 10 times per week. He was the pastor of the Metropolitan Tabernacle for 38 years. And God used him in a tremendous way. He was an influence on a lot of different people's lives. And he had a lot to say about a lot of things. One of the things that he said is, I believe that those sermons which are fullest of Christ are the most likely to be blessed to the conversion of the hearers. Let your sermons be full of Christ, from beginning to end, crammed full of the gospel. As far as myself, brethren, I cannot preach anything else but Christ and His cross, for I know nothing else. And long ago, like the Apostle Paul, I determined not to know anything else save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I thought that was a wonderful statement that Charles Haddon Spurgeon made many, many years ago, that brings me to this magnificent passage of Scripture in 1 Timothy 1. Beginning with verse 12, it says, Paul speaking, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he considered me faithful, putting me into his service. 1 Timothy 1:13, even though I formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, and yet I was shown mercy, because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. And then our verse of scripture, which you see on the screen, verse 15. It is a trustworthy, faithful statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. What I'd like to do for a few moments is call your attention to some of the words that are found in 1 Timothy 1:15. It is important for me to reveal to you the fact that the Apostle Paul is writing here to Timothy, and he is informing him of the fact that God worked a miracle in his life. If you go back to Acts chapter 7, you'll find that there was a man by the name of Stephen who was being stoned to death. And in that passage of scripture, you will realize that this man Saul of Tarsus was there watching all of this take place. And when you go into the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, you will discover that that is the testimony of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. With that thought in mind, then we see what we have here. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. There are some beautiful words. All of these words are very beautiful. But the very first word that I want you to see is the word that's used first in the Greek text, which is pistos, P-I-S-T-O-S. Look at it, if you will, please, which is the word faithful. And then we have an article, the, and then you have the word logos, which is the word word. So we have the word faithful, or faithful is the word. Or as we have translated here, this is a faithful saying. It goes on to say that it is worthy of acceptance. And the word acceptance there is admission or reception. The word worthy is an interesting one also, because it emphasizes the power and the influence of God through Christ on the life of this man who became the Apostle Paul. Then it says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, I can see a lot of different words here that I would like to mention to you. One of those is the word kosmon, K-O-S-M-O-N. You see it there, which comes from the word cosmos, which is an emphasis upon the world. And then I see that there is the word save sinners. And I see the word save, and then I see the word sinners. Let's take just a moment to look at that for just a little bit. First of all, let's look at the word save. It is the Greek word sozai, S-O-S-A-I, which comes from the Greek word sozo, S-O-Z-O. It's important for me to tell you how that word is used. It is an aorist, active, infinitive of the word sozo. What does that mean, preacher? I'll tell you what it means. We have, for instance, the point of time in history when this all took place. The world, Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The subject is the Lord Jesus Christ, who produced the action. And then we have an interesting use of the verb here. It's an infinitive. And the infinitive is a verb of wish or desire. So this lets me know very quickly that the purpose that Jesus Christ came to the world was to go to the cross and die for the sins of mankind. And that means that you and I, all of us, are included in that magnificent gift of God through Jesus Christ. I'd like to call your attention to a few last words in the verse before we draw some conclusions today. It says, Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, what you need to see is that the way the word is used, chief is not actually the word that is used here, but the Greek word that is used is P-R-O-T-O-S. Did you see that down at the bottom of the page, at the bottom of that verse? And protos, P-R-O-T-O-S, is the word which means first. And so the Apostle Paul, having been moved by the Spirit of God and been converted as described in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, looks upon himself as a wicked, cruel, rude, ungodly, depraved sinner, saved by the matchless grace of God. So my question to you today is, why did the Lord leave heaven's glory? And why did the Lord come down to earth? Now when you see this, you're going to say, well, I've seen that before. You surely have. But let's look at it for a few moments. The first thing that we want to see here is that this is an emphasis upon the Trinity, an emphasis upon the members of the Godhead. This is not new to any one of you. I know that all of you, perhaps, could name all the characteristics and the essence of the members of the Godhead. Sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, immutability, and veracity. If you cannot describe those in detail, then I have failed you, because I presented this many, many times over the last years. If you'll look at this, you will see that there's an emphasis upon Deity 1, which is the Father. You will see an emphasis upon Deity 2, which is the pre-existent Christ, who became the existent Christ, who is the eternal Christ. And then you'll see Deity 3, which is the Holy Spirit. Now, the question that I have for you today, and I'm going to answer it with 15 answers, so you're going to have to listen carefully and write fast. My question is, why did Deity 2 come to this earth? He came to the earth for a reason. And we're going to be able to see, and some of these are very close connected verses of Scripture. And so I'm going to help you as we look at this. First of all, let's go back and look at our verse. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, worthy of our acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am first. Now, you'll remember that in the past we've emphasized Jesus, we've emphasized Christ Jesus, and we've emphasized Lord Jesus Christ. You remember that? If you'll notice here it says, this is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world. Now let me point out the fact that we have the word Christ, which is C-H-R-I-S-T-O-S, Christ, and we have the word Jesus, which is Jesus. So we have an emphasis upon the fact that Jesus Christ is the one who came in the incarnation, in the flesh, and he came because he was the anointed one and the appointed one. And we do not have the word Lord here, but we know that there's an emphasis upon the fact that he is the ruler and the master and the leader. Now, if I'm going to do this justly for you, first of all, I'm going to have to tell you that the words are small, so you probably cannot see to read it from where you're sitting, and that's okay, because I'm going to read it to you. On the screen now, you have 15 reasons why Deity 2 left heaven's glory and came to the earth. In case you cannot, as I've said, read these small letters, the words, that's okay. What I've done is put this up here so it can help me to help you write these down. Deity came to the earth for what reason? And I have 15 reasons down here. Some of these are very closely related, and so I want you to understand that, and I have scripture references for each one of these statements. The first one is, Jesus Christ came, left heaven's glory, and came to this earth as the God-man, God in the flesh, God incarnate. He came to save sinners. That's the verse of Scripture which we have on the screen, and had on the screen, which you have on the back of your bulletin, which says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am first, I am chief, I'm the chief of sinners. So there's no question in our minds that when the Lord Jesus Christ, Deity 2, left heaven's glory to come to this earth, he came for one specific purpose, and that was, number one, to save sinners. I realize that this is hard on your eyes. Some of you are squinting, And so that's okay. I'm going to read it to you. Number two, Jesus Christ came into the world to call sinners to repentance. And all I have here is call to repentance. This is found in Mark chapter 2, verse 17. When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, "They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." That's Mark chapter 2, verse 17, which tells us that Jesus Christ came to this earth to call sinners to repentance. Now, what I'm going to do is preach along the way, and so you're taking notes, and that's okay, but give me some time in between these to do a little what I enjoy doing, and that's proclaiming. What we have here is an emphasis in Mark 2, 17, on the fact that every individual born is born physically alive and spiritually dead, which simply means that God knows that every person needs to be born again. Every person needs to be redeemed by the grace of God. And every person who accepts Jesus Christ as Savior is going to be saved. Those who do not accept Him as Savior will not be saved. It's important for us to emphasize to you, for us to all understand that there is one way of salvation, and that's through the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." Now, that's contrary to what a lot of people believe. A lot of people believe today that it doesn't matter really what you believe. As long as you're sincere, you're going to die and go to heaven. Now, let's be very careful about this, because the Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved." Jesus came for the purpose of calling sinners to repentance. Mark chapter 2, verse 17. When Jesus heard it, he said, "They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Number three, Jesus Christ came to seek and to save the lost. That's found in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, if you want to write this one down. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Number four, Jesus Christ came to the world to demonstrate true purpose of life, to give Himself a ransom for all of us, but to present the true purpose of life. Number four, you can see it on the screen, if you can see it, is true purpose of life. What is your true purpose in life? I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that you're not going to be here on this earth all that many years, even at the longest. Let's say that you live to be 95 or 100. Now, many of you will reach that, perhaps, and some of you will not. When I looked at the life of Charles Haddon Spurgeon and realized that that was about 150 to 175 years ago, and he was born into God's kingdom and preached the gospel, and he only lived 58 years. So that lets me know that you and I really do not know how many years we're going to be on this earth. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to let you know that whatever your age is, you've lived a while, and we do not know exactly how much longer you're going to live. So I want you to see that the true purpose in life is to understand that Jesus Christ came to be giving Himself as a ransom for us. That's the reason why Matthew 20:28 says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." I read something the other day that I thought was quite interesting, and I'm always reading things that are quite interesting. I want to read this to you and let you think about it. God does not love us because Christ died for us. You might want to write this down and think about it. And I had to do that myself. God does not love us because Christ died for us. Christ died for us because God loves us. Now, I know what that can do to you. It can be like water on a duck's back. It could just hit and run off and mean absolutely nothing to you. Or on the other hand, you could begin to get just a little bit of it. God does not love us because Christ died for us. Christ died for us because God loves us. When you think that through, you'll be able to see what the individual was saying. God is always consistent with His character to pardon and to bless. God is always consistent with His character to pardon and to bless. So the Lord Jesus Christ came that you and I might have a purpose, a real purpose in life. My question is, what is your real purpose in life? Is it to make money? Is it to build a great estate? What is your major purpose in life? We have to continually ask ourselves that question. Why are we here? What are our goals in life? Why? What are we doing? What's the purpose? Jesus came into the world to demonstrate the true purpose of life and give Himself a ransom. Number 5, Jesus Christ came into the world to be a king and bear witness to the truth. I find this in John chapter 18, verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto Him, "Are you a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. To this end I was born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." Listen to that. John 18:37. Jesus said, "You say that I'm a king. Let me tell you, I'm here to bear witness of the truth. And everyone who is listening and cares to desire the truth, they are the ones who are listening to my voice." My question to myself and to you today is, are we really desiring to hear His voice? Do we want to know what He has to say? Number 6, Jesus Christ came into the world to do the will of His Father. John chapter 6, verse 38 says, "I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but to do the will of the one who sent me." That's amazing, isn't it? John 6, 38, Jesus said, "I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me." Do you think for one moment that it was easy for Jesus Christ to bear the sins of the world? Do you think for one moment that it was easy for Jesus Christ to be the recipient of a crown of thorns being pressed down upon His head? Oh, many people talk about the crucifixion, and they emphasize all the horribleness of the crucifixion. But let me tell you, there was something even more horrible than that. And that is when Jesus Christ was bearing the sins of the world, including your sins and mine. And darkness came. Oh, that darkness. He was in that darkness for the purpose of making it possible for you and me to be able to be in the light. Because Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." John 6:38 says, "I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me." Number 7, Jesus Christ, deity too, came to the world as the light of the world. John chapter 12, verse 46, I just referred to it. Jesus said, "I am the light in the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not be walking around in darkness." If you go to the 3rd chapter of the book of John, you will find some interesting things about Nicodemus. But when you go on past John chapter 3, verse 16, you'll find some interesting things there about light and about darkness. People who love darkness don't like the light. They'd rather stay in the darkness rather than the light. Jesus said, "I've come as a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me shall not be abiding, walking around in darkness." Number 8, Jesus Christ came into the world that men might have abundant life. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, "I've come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." John chapter 9, 39, Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into the world, that they which see not might see, for they that see not might see, that they which see might be not blind." Number 9. Did I go to number 8? Yes, number 9. Jesus Christ came into the world to judge the world. This is John chapter 9, verse 39, which I've just referred to. Number 10. Jesus Christ came into the world to proclaim and preach good news. In Mark chapter 1, verse 38, he said unto them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth." In Mark chapter 1, verse 38, Jesus said, "I've come that I might present good news." And that's what Jesus Christ came to the earth to do. Number 11. Jesus Christ came into the world to die on the cross. John chapter 12, verse 27. Which says, "Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say that my soul is troubled? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour." I don't know whether you get the feel or not. I want you to see something. It was not easy, as I said already, for Jesus Christ to do what he did. I see it in the eternal ages past. I see deity 1, 2, and 3, which we showed a few moments ago. And I think in terms of putting it where you and I can understand. I see deity 1 looking down upon the world and seeing the condition of mankind, depraved and sinful. And I want it to be even more personal than that. I see deity 1 looking down and seeing you and me. It seems to me that it would be good for them to have a little heavenly discussion. And I know that this is putting it in human terminology. Deity 1 said to deity 3 and deity 2, "The world's messed up. The people are depraved. The people are sinful." And we could go into all the discussion about Adam and Eve and depravity and all of that, but you have that down. Let me take you back to that conversation. And Deity 1 said, "There needs to be a solution to this problem. Mankind has a problem. They have two major problems. One is they have a spiritual problem. And they also have a physical problem. The spiritual problem is that they are in need of redemption. And the physical problem is that they're living in a dying body. And so something needs to be done about that also." So in this little discussion, and it's a family discussion, because there's deity 1, 2, and 3, I would call that a family, wouldn't you? So deity 1 said, "You know, there needs to be a solution to this problem." And deity 2 said, "I'm willing to leave heaven's glory." Deity 2, "I'm willing to leave heaven's glory. Go down to the earth and become God in the flesh, the God-man, the Theos Anthropos, so that I could be both God and man. Because this is the only way that the spiritual solution and the physical solution, those solutions can be made, brought about, that they can be brought about." And so the Father said, it's not very pleasant for me to think about this, but I think that this is the only way it's going to happen. And so Deity 2 left heaven's glory and came to the earth, and we've been discussing this, about the virgin conception and the virgin birth. He became the God-man. And we've already said that when you go to the book of Hebrews, we find a statement that was made by deity at the time of the birth of Jesus Christ, which is a quote from Psalms. And in Psalms, the statement is, there's going to be the piercing of an ear. But in the New Testament, it says, "A body you have given me." So there's a prophecy of the Old Testament that is fulfilled in the New Testament at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, when deity spoke and said, "You have given and prepared for me a body." This is the result of the virgin conception and the virgin birth. We have now a body. And we have the Lord Jesus Christ, deity too, living in this body. Tempted as all of us are. Tempted in every way we are, yet without sin. So we have deity one looking down, and I see it. And he sees the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. Why did he come? He came for all the various reasons I've given so far. And where am I now? Number what? Number 10. So I'm answering some questions. Why did deity 2 come? Number 10, he came to bring good news. Number 11, I've already said it. He came to die on the cross. And on the cross, Jesus said, "My soul is troubled." And what shall I say? My soul is troubled. Father, if it be possible for you to save me from this hour. But I realize this cause came I unto this very moment. Do you see that? In John 12:27. And so here we have that discussion in the eternal ages past. Now we have deity 2 down the earth, and he's willing to go to the cross. Why did he do that? Number 12. The scripture says he came to fulfill the law. Matthew 5:17. Think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I've not come to destroy. I've come to fulfill. And really, literally, that is saying, I've come to fill it full. I've come to fill it full. I did not come to destroy the law or the prophets. I came to fill it full. So I'm not doing away with the scriptures of the Old Testament. I want you to see all that's there. But I want you to go through that and get into the New Testament and see what is taking place there. The law is like a school bus. The law is not the school teacher. The bus is not the school teacher. The bus carries the student to the school so the teacher can teach the child. The law is like the school bus that shows us that we're sinners and that we're in need of a Savior. And Jesus said, "I want you to understand why we have the Old Testament. I want you to understand, I did not come to destroy the law. I did not come to destroy the prophets. I am not come to destroy it. I came to make it meaningful and understandable so that you can see it." Number 13, Jesus came to the world, listen to this, to be the divider of men. This is interesting to me, Matthew chapter 10. "Think not that I've come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." When I got to that, I put myself a little note. Christ makes it necessary, oftentimes, to choose between relatives and the truth. Did you hear what I said? Sometimes the Lord makes it necessary for us to choose between relatives and the truth. And this choice often causes division. Two more points. Number 14. Why did deity 2 leave heaven's glory and come to the earth? I'll tell you why. Because of the love that God had for us. 1 John 4:10. "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Oh, that's a beautiful word. We're going to talk about it in the next session. The word propitiation. It's the word helosmos. Now, I don't expect any of you to have dreams like this. But I had a dream the other night, and the dream was Helasmos. 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 And some of you are wondering now, preacher, have you gone crazy? No, no. What was happening was that I had been studying that word, and it had been embedded in my mind, my subconscious, as well as my conscious. And in the night, that word kept coming to me in the dream. Helasmos. Helasmos. Which is the word propitiation. Now maybe you'll remember that as we move into the second session. Number 15 and the last one. Jesus came into the world because the Father sent Him. Deity, too, left heaven's glory and came to the earth because the Father sent Him. Let me give you these concluding remarks. The Father sent Jesus to atone for our sins. 1 John 4:10. So point two, the Father sent Jesus and gave Jesus the responsibility of being the Savior of the world. And so point three, the Father sent Jesus to bless us by turning us away from our sins and our iniquities. And subpoint four, the Father sent His Son to redeem us from the curse of the law. And God sent Jesus to make it possible for us to have a new power in our hearts, a power that will enable us to be victorious and triumphant. Listen to this passage, Romans 8, 3 and 4. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's Romans chapter 8, 3 and 4. If you want to know where victory is, you find it in the fact that deity too came to the earth and gave to us the wonderful gift of salvation, but also gave to us this magnificent book, which is the mind of Jesus Christ. And when we take that mind and let it become our mind, then we are triumphant and victorious as we face the various aspects of life. Not all those aspects are pleasant and good. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, thank You so much for the challenge of Your Word. We realize that deity too left heaven's glory, came to the earth to be the God-man, died on the cross for the sins of the world. And not only was He willing to die, but He was buried and came forth out of that grave, triumphant over the grave and sin and death and hell, ascended to sit at the Father's right hand, makes intercession for us now. Thank You so very much for the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.